You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Payday loans, where you get a loan and you would repay a proportion of your pay for the next while to get rid of the loan. And of course, if you fall over and don't get a payment on time, all the extra debt starts piling up. So the best restriction on payday loans that we would be looking for would be you don't have to repay more than a certain percentage of your income. So in Australia it is 20%, and there it's going to go down to 10% of your weekly income. So if you get $500 a week, you only have to pay $50 a week for this. At the moment there's no restriction here. We've seen cases where people are being expected to pay 50% of their income each week back on their payday loan. And that becomes impossible and they fall into strife. Then the issue of the high interest, which is linked but it's a different issue, is that here there is no limit on the interest that any lender can charge. And we've got regularly cases into the hundreds of percent and occasionally even higher. And again, in Australia, there are limits, and around the world generally, there are lots of countries that have limits on how much can be charged in interest rates. So those to us would be the two kind of key interventions. There was new law 3 years ago, CCCFA, and that has done something. It means that when you borrow money, you're supposed to be told how much in dollar terms you're going to pay back if you keep up the repayments as they want you to. But of course, if the interest rates are high and the repayment level is unreal, you can't do it. And also, you're not supposed to get lent money unless the lender has checked that you have an ability to repay. And there's lots of examples of the disclosure rules and that rule being broken. So part of the issue is about the laws, like payday, high interest. Part of the issue is the enforcement is not particularly good. And it's really easy for shonky companies to get into the market and cause a lot of damage before they can be stopped.
So these people that are going to these sort of sometimes shadier organisations to get a quick cash loan a lot of the time, and they get stuck in this cycle of repayment because there is no limit, as you're saying. What's the exit for them? How do they actually get out of this without any serious change in the money that they're earning?
Very good question. I mean, and there's a wider question than that. I mean, if we get people referred from Work and Income who are spending 75-80% of their income on rent, then no budget you and I could come up with would actually solve that problem. So there are some of these are about trying to minimise the damage. Some are about counselling people into making sure they've got the right benefit income, like Working for Families, maybe. Making sure that they've got a bit of a life plan to get them out of the situation they're in. I mean, that's where we go beyond the pure financial advice. If you're trapped into a series of loans which are crippling you, there's things called debt consolidation, where we can look to actually come up with one loan, and there are some charities doing low interest loans which could be used to repay all the loans you've got, and then you're just repaying the one at a lower interest rate. So that's one possibility. Another possibility is that our financial mentors negotiate with those debt companies and prioritise the debt and just have a debt holiday, a repayment holiday for a period. And if these companies, certainly the better ones, know that our organisations are involved, they're often prepared to do a good deal because they know they'll get at least some of the money eventually. So it's very individual to the situation, but the common things are prioritise and delay, and quite possibly in terms of particularly people whose benefit income just isn't enough to meet their rent. Are they getting the maximum income they can get from the system? And then secondly, what's their life plan to get out of that?
So looking to Australia and the United Kingdom, who already have regulations in place to cap the total percentage of repayment that people are required or actually allowed to pay. What's the effect been on the market of small to medium lenders been in these areas?
The overall effect has been good because there are so far as we can look at the figures we've seen, there are few people coming to services like ours with big and complicated debt situations. The claim is that if you set an interest rate limit, that becomes the norm. so that all the companies are charging near their interest rate. I think we've got a pretty high level of competition here between these companies. I'm not convinced that's a good argument. Just because you set a maximum, not everyone will work to that maximum, because it's pretty vicious competition between these companies. The other concern is that people will go into the illegal market. So we're talking not about shonky companies, but about individuals that might be lending without any regulation, any knowledge by the system that they even exist. And that's, again, an issue of monitoring. It's an issue of trust, I guess. And that's problematic. And the closer our services can get to the ground, the more they hear about these setups and they can actually report them through the system. So we do have an enforcement problem. We've got a lot of dispute agencies that people can go to, but they don't always know how to do that. Someone who's borrowed money in a messy situation won't necessarily want to complain. They're a bit embarrassed and awkward about it, and their main issue is getting out of the debt rather than complaining about the way the company operated. So there's not really a strong culture of people engaging to complain, and often our mentors have to do it on their behalf in order to actually get information into the system. We've got some great stories of people going to our services and complaints ending up with big fines, ending up with companies closing down and so forth, where the Commerce Commissioner managed to take the whole thing through. But it's still a pretty Wild West environment out there, and there's a lot can be done, which is why we're welcoming of the government's intention to change the law, because that does need to happen.
It is a bit of a Wild West out there.
Yeah.
And it affects a lot of people. Are you seeing people from all walks of life that are trapped up in these cycles of high interest or payday loans, or is this something that is isolated to certain communities and certain groups?
Not isolated. I'd say it is concentrated in groups where making each week balance is pretty tough, and where you're hit unexpectedly by an obligation, a family obligation like a funeral, where you need to come up with some money to pay, or the fridge stops working and you need to get a second-hand fridge to survive. So anything outside the regular weekly cycle becomes a problem, and a lot of the people coming to our services would fall into those groups. But we've got services dealing with people who are living lives that look a lot more comfortable, but in fact they are based on an unsustainable level of debt, and that would obviously include mortgage, maybe a student loan debt to repay, and everything else. So these risks are regardless of people's income, they're often intractable no matter what the level. But obviously, when people have got no other ability to survive, they're the ones that we're particularly focused on, but not exclusively.
Other than just simply looking at new regulations to help control this, do we need to be looking earlier and having a more educational focus about the way that people are being prepared for financial sustainability in their life?
Oh yeah, absolutely. There is in the school curriculum now, there are elements around budgeting, financial capability, and that's being done sometimes by teachers, sometimes by our services going into schools, and the last government actually put some more funding into that to help develop material, so that's good stuff. And then there's this idea we've got called Money Mates, which are basically groups of people who recognise they've got a bit of a budgeting issue and just want to work through the skills needed. So it's more like a kind of building up the skills, which is also really helpful. A lot of employers, where they see common problems of people wanting to get pay early and maybe get a bit of a loan before Christmas and whatever, they're keen to get stuff happening in the workplace, and that's occurring more and more around the country. So as the awareness of this reality gets greater, I guess as people come out of the shadows a bit in terms of saying, yeah, I've got a problem and I need support in dealing with it. So there's more discussion, and so better solutions actually emerge. And increasingly our services are about looking at that. First looking at the person and saying, is this just about money, or are there other things in their life that are problems? And that's called strengths-based solution, like looking at the other drivers that are making them get into problems.
Before I let you go, do you think that this is going to be achieved in the first 100 days? Are we going to see changes to the restriction on money lending?
Oh, well, the review of the Act was due to happen, but it's being sped up. So I think a clear idea of where the government wants to go and what the elements of the law reform are will be there in the first 100 days, and then it will just be a case of getting whatever's agreed through Parliament. So, yeah, there will be real progress, and our services are very excited about that.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.